Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive. June.
Hey, Jessica. You're in a new background right now. I'm looking at a new, yeah.
What does it say to you? What does it say to you?
So funny. So what I was just thinking of was, I don't know if I feel like I've told people, and I don't know if it's true, that your mother,
yes,
who, by the way, for the Bride Wars stands in the audience, the character of Marion St. Clair, played by Candice Bergen in the movie, was loosely based on Jessica's mother, having never met her.
But okay, it was so accurate.
Okay, great. So I've told people that your mom is an interior designer who recreates sets like kitchens and living rooms from Nancy Meyers movies.
Okay.
For people. Is that true?
Well, some, as usual with all of our stories, some of that is true. So,
because I've really spread that word.
Listen, my mother is one of the classiest women in the world. Now, this is not her backdrop. I am renting an old lady's house.
Okay, it's beautiful. But I was like, oh, this is,
no, God,
I'm
this
looking
is
at.
Oh, God.
Okay.
No.
I'm looking at a St. Clair design right here. Okay.
No. I'll post some pictures of my mother's house. It does look like, this is not a Nancy Meyers movie that you're watching, but you will be watching it on my Instagram. Basically, my mother was an interior designer. She's a seamstress. So she made curtains and bedspreads and everything for other people. But she could have been an interior designer. But the truth is she has her own style. So she kind of didn't want to do that for other people. But my house looks like a Nancy Meyers set. That is correct. Now, the other thing was my mother got our kitchen redone in New Hampshire. And then I was on a plane watching. What's the one where it's so disgusting? Amanda Peet has to have sex with Jack Nicholson. And then they both, the mother and the daughter, have sex with him. She's a playwright and she wears a lot of turtlenecks. You were dressed like her. No, you were dressed like her.
Oh, God.
Woody Allen. God damn it.
Oh, Diane Keaton.
You know, Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know. It's like something's got to give or something like that. But anyway.
Oh,
a Hamptons house and this kitchen is so beautiful. And then my mother got our kitchen redone. And then I was on a plane watching Something's Gotta Give. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my kitchen. And my mom goes, yeah, I ripped it out of, you know, like House
that's
Beautiful and just said, give me this.
Okay.
And so, yes. And like, there's always a fresh cornbread or like a blueberry muffin.
Wow.
And when my BB was only 3 weeks old, I had to go back to work and to shoot. And Dan had to go to London. And my mother came and moved in with us. And she was like so worried my milk would dry up. So she was feeding me like chocolate cakes. Like I come home and it'd be a homemade chocolate cake with a glass of whole milk and like a chicken with a roast chicken with a mashed potato. And it was so delicious and amazing. And then she would come with me and push BB around Hollywood Boulevard. And she would say, boy, there are some characters there. And they were peeking in to see the baby, like a man dressed like Spider-Man. You know what I mean? That you would take pictures with.
I do know those gentlemen and women. And it's always, oh God, I always get a bit sad when you're sort of like off Hollywood, like you're in one of the side streets and
that's
you see one of the characters.
Was.
Okay, but like,
she
it's always
off.
Tough to see one of the characters like heading over to their car.
She was off Broadway when we were shooting somewhere for Playing House. Anyway, but when she left, I sobbed my brains out because she is the ultimate homemaker and she is just killing it.
Oh, wow. God bless. I mean, that's so interesting, Jessica. Okay, so we have a conversation coming up. And
I want
to say something because I just gave it a look-see. I gave it a little listen. I put my ears to it for a few minutes because I knew we were going to be recording today. And if we've ever had to issue a disclaimer about our medical advice... Okay.
Oh, did we throw out some?
Ooh, boy, do we ever.
We take some.
Boy, do we ever. We talk about lotions and potions and meds and intermittent fasting and all sorts of sauna beds, all sorts of things. And
interesting.
You know,
a lot of it that we said, we probably aren't doing anymore. That's the other thing.
Correct.
We might have to publish a post chat to say this is what we are or are not still currently doing.
Okay. So
for myself,
I'm going to get back to your mother and homemaking, but it occurred to me after listening to it, I was like, oh man, you know, I really appreciate the younger generation's experience of their bodies and the younger generation of women coming up who have something to teach us about
big
body
time.
Positivity, body neutrality, all of it. And then, you know, because our conversation, like we're oh boy, Jess, we're not of that generation, you know?
We're not about perfecting, shaving down, you know, slimming down, never slimming down.
Okay.
Trying to embrace and then also doing all the things.
Yes. And you know, so I was thinking about it listening back because I was like, ooh, boy, like we got work to do. And yet there's so much. The conversation we have with our dear friend Morgan Walsh, who like I don't think I mean, there's just she's a light in this world.
Right.
And we call her a pioneer woman in motherhood because she did it before all of us. But she's also a pioneer woman when it comes to
Maddie spas.
Medi spas and lotions.
She'll try
and
anything.
And procedures.
She'll try anything.
Fucking anything. And so as much as I'm like, ooh, boy, I got a lot of work to do to experience, you know, my body and bodies in the way that I see the younger gals demanding of our culture.
Oh, yeah.
And I tip my fucking hat. I really do. And I'm also like, that ship may have sailed.
I think it has.
And
okay,
there's so much joy and intimacy and laughter and connection in our own kind of sharing of knowledge. Yeah. And like, you know what I mean? That I laughed so hard listening to it that I also am like, fuck if it isn't something to talk about and relate on and experience like joy through. And it's absurd, but and yes, it's also enabling a misogynistic culture and we're all buying into all this stuff. True.
Yeah.
You know, I don't disagree. And it's like there's so much kind of joy in the rituals of it and the talking
and
about it.
Yes, and girl, and I think women for millennia have been doing that. You don't think in each
grooming
dip they weren't sharing
each other's hairs.
Who's using what Kohl eyeliner. You know they were going heavy on the eyes. You know what? That might have been a former life of yours.
It's where I should have been.
Definitely. You hit that kind of level of eye makeup that
see
on those on the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know, that's the kind of level eye makeup.
That's where I would have really been. Yeah, like that. I would have been hot stuff back then.
Yeah,
but like I was thinking about, okay, your mom was a supreme homemaker and mine wasn't, you know, and I don't have that, but I also knew she struggled with that. You know, it's why I was named after. Listen, I was named after June Cleaver. It was aspirational.
Really?
It was something, yes.
What?
I was named after June Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because I think my mom wanted to get there. And I wish, it'll make me cry, but I wish I could have like told her, like, what you're offering us as a mother is more than enough.
and more important.
Yes, but
more important.
And more important. But yes, more important. And her, your value system is totally aligned.
Yeah. You know, you got holding time. That's all you got to say.
Like, yeah, but it's also like, oh, but my experience as a someone who's in a home and domesticity and all of that is also fraught. Not as fraught as my mother's. Not as fraught, but fraught.
Oh, I constantly, there's not a day where I've let myself down with the state. And I know we've already done an entire podcast on this, but like, it's back.
It's real.
It's back,
real.
Bitches. Like, it doesn't go away from me.
Back.
And right. Like, I don't think BB's going to be saying, oh, you know, I wish our house was cleaner. Like, you, that makes you a worse mom. I don't think she will. But like the other day, there's this wonderful group of moms I've met at my childhood. This is where I am right now, is my childhood summer place in New Hampshire. And there's just these moms that I met, and I'm fucking loving these moms. They're from all stripes. And one of them, and something people do here in this little community that we live on Sugar House Road. You know what I'm saying? That's where we're at here. Okay. Little Brook Road.
Wow.
It is acceptable here to pop by. You don't ever call. You just drop by. But that means your house has to be in drop by quality kadish. And I literally chose one day to clean the house. One day. And that was the time one of the moms popped by, and she was like, can I take a look at the place? Like, because we were all renting different old ladies' houses. And I'm like, of course. And I thought, oh my God, thank God it's clean. And I thought, God, any other day I would have been embarrassed. I really would have. Cause like, I just try to keep it together, you know, and it's just never together, but I would love for us to let it go.
Well,
gotta let it go.
And you know what, Jess, like, here's why. Okay. So I think there are limitations of what, and I actually like, I'm okay. And I also want to let go of just like the, especially when it comes to body stuff, appearances. Yes, I want to be working on other things, but I kind of want to let go of the expectation that I should be in the headspace of the younger generation. Like, that, this is where I'm at. This is what I've consumed my whole life. Like, this is what I can do. But I also feel like letting go for me of the how fraught I feel about like the domestic life is also healing generational wounds around that. You know, like,
totally, because how your mother is how you are. You take from your mother, either you reject it, you accept it, you carry it with you. It's not, see, and I'm looking at the two of us, we have the most opposite mothers in this respect, and we both are fraught, right? As I didn't identify in that feminine way. I identified more in that, and it's horrible that I even think of it as masculine, but like, I wanted a big career and I wanted, you know, to be ballsy and all these things. And that didn't mean taking the time to organize a linen closet. But God damn it, we go over to my mom's house here and BB says, why is it so, it smells so good in here? I'm like, yeah, but my mother works her ass off all day making it look great. Chop wood,
this
carry water.
Shit doesn't come for free.
It doesn't.
It
you
pays
have to
look this good. Okay.
It does.
Like,
wait,
it's
somewhere it's going to fall apart. You know what I mean? But you either,
I wish though, Jess, because I feel like we give a lot of affirmation to friends of ours who've got things super organized and color coded and all this shit. What I wish is that we could actually affirm each other's mess.
That's the goal. We're not going to get there necessarily with the body stuff. But
like,
let it go.
This, believe you me, in this episode, we make that clear.
Okay. And we've already done all the therapy, I think. Like, my brain's probably learned as much as I can on that front. So like, I'm letting that one go. But I will say that the radical acceptance of that and of the
beautiful
house
mess
stuff,
the beautiful,
is a beautiful mess, and knowing that like I drop the dish towel when BB wants to read or play with each other, you know, and when I don't drop it, I feel bad. I don't want to not drop it. You know, I don't want to spend my time organizing things at the expense of being with her.
Do fucking I.
So, and I just wanted to, on the tip of radical acceptance, which I believe is going to be the superpower to get us to true happiness, I brought that into this experience for the last 3 weeks, and it has been life-changing.
Wow.
Radical acceptance. And I will tell you, the deep divers wrote me some of the most beautiful DMs about how I could see this childhood vacation spot, how I could find my way to enjoying it. And what I realized is it's all about radical acceptance. So radical acceptance is to say, I fully accept the circumstances. Yeah. I don't want them to be different.
This is the moment I find myself in. Yeah.
I don't push. I don't, you know, you're not going to be willful and say it should be different. That's where, you know, discontent lies, right? And so when I came here, I was like, I'm going to radically accept everything. I'm going to accept the fact that I'm not on vacation. I'm still a mother, which means I'm working hard. I'm making dinner. This is about BB's magical moments. It's not about mine. And I'm going to radically accept that, you know, this place doesn't quite fit me anymore as an adult. And that's true and okay. I'm not going to feel sad about it because it is the truth. And I have to tell you, I'm so much clearer about what I want to do next summer. I had to travel, you know, a long way here. And it has been raining 12 out of the 15 days I've been here.
Okay, well, that has a lot to do with it. Like, I think that might have quite a bit to do with what we're experiencing.
It rains here on the East Coast. You forget.
You know what, Jess? Thank you so much for reminding me, because I don't do well with rain. I don't do well with it.
So I was thinking, and I want you to tell this story. So it was pouring rain like the eighth day, and I was starting to really go dark. And this was the day I had to like pull myself back. And I was remembering the boat trip you took in the Hamptons, where you put your sweatshirt on so that only a little tiny part of your face was showing. What was that?
Oh, Jess, I felt like that. This is a really dark story. This is a really dark story. This gives
is it too dark
shivers up my spine. No, it's not. But talk about like radical acceptance. So I took it upon myself. And see, I think that's the other thing too, is you and I are organizers. You know, we'll rally the troops. We'll make a plan.
I have a group text. Yeah. I have a group text going with four moms I just met. And I'm like, guys, are we doing barn buddies? Like, who's in for cocktails? Like, I don't even know these girls. But I was crying with one of them on the beach.
I love that. I love
yesterday,
that.
You know?
But we're organizers, like to put a plan together, you know? And with
whether
that,
or not we show
though, when we might not be there for said event. But what comes with that, however, for me, is sometimes some amount of resentment.
Yes.
Okay? About like, oh, I fucking did this. Like, I put it together. It's like, oh, lady, like, I'm sorry. You know, you organized this and are now angry at all of your guests. Like, it's not a great look. But I will say that, and I've worked on this, but in the past, I have struggled there. And I organized a trip with all of my girls from home. Now, we rented a house in the Hamptons. This was when Sam, my youngest, was maybe he was like 6 months old.
That's crazy.
Okay. And what
we've already
I didn't
said don't
realize,
leave your home until
course,
they're four. So you did that. You broke that rule.
What I didn't realize is like we had, I want to say, 8 children in that home under the age of 5.
Okay. Weren't there like white rugs or something? Like,
oh,
you had really splashed
like
out on this place.
Century modern, like not a child friendly place. But I
the
had organized it in
white party there.
Yeah, exactly. And I had organized it in a moment of like, this is something we need to do. We need to get all the kids together. I can't handle my children not growing up with like my best friend's kids because they're all on the East Coast. Most of them are on the East Coast. Like, we need to all be together. Well, it was a tough trip. Okay. Now, I've actually talked to one of my best friends last weekend about it. And I was like, was that hell on earth? And she was like, listen, and she does practice radical acceptance. She's like, we all had small kids. Like, it was what it was, which was a daycare center. So
that you were paying a pretty penny. I remember, were we spending
a lot of money? That's a key part of this that I was also like, why are we working so hard here? I had imagined giant family dinners and like
pasta, unending pasta pots,
family style at a big wooden table, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what was happening was we like someone frantically ran and got paper plates and the kids were all like eating off the ground at different times, you know, and like the pool, it was June, but it was not warm enough in New York. It's the other thing. Like sometimes summer takes a little bit longer than we're used to out here. It wasn't warm enough to go in the pool. You know, hot tub didn't work. Like there were things, okay? There were things. And then I'm like, let's go on a boat ride. And I plan.
You booked the boat. I thought someone else booked
the boat. No, I believe I booked the boat. Like, again, because that's my instinct of like, let's do fun things.
Yeah.
But also, like, I can turn into like the angry lady who's like, let's do this fun thing. And we all got to leave at this time. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I have that in me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a great look. You know, it's not a sweatpant I wear well. Okay. It doesn't look great. So I know that. So we go. Now, Sam is still like drinking out of bottles and on formula.
I put him on a boat?
Jessica.
So crazy. Now,
we load the families onto the boat and we're about like 10 minutes out from the dock. And I turned to Paul and I said, where's the diaper bag?
Oh my God.
And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, where's the diaper bag with Sam's bottles and formula and diapers? And we both look back and on the dock is a fucking diaper bag, like Jujubee or whatever the fuck it's called, like the Jujubee striped diaper bag. We see it in the distance. All the compartments. So many pockets for like the, and also his pacifier, like, and sweatshirts and all of the things, right?
And it's raining, right? Did it start to rain? It
starts raining.
Sideways,
that sideways rain. That sideways rain that you cannot escape from, okay? Yep. And also, like, I have a baby. And I say to the captain, like, what's it going to be like to go back? And he's like, we can go back. It's going to take us longer.
Right.
And we made the call. I make the angry, resentful call of like, let's keep on going.
You'll sacrifice.
You'll sacrifice
for the joy of everyone else.
For the joy
else.
Of the group. Because there's like 12 other people here.
Boat.
Yep. There's 12
small
other people here and
terrible.
Small kids. And that's when I, and no diapers, you know, and that's when I, it started raining and it's windy and I pulled my sweatshirt hoodie into like a tiny,
there's like a
small, porthole. Cause I couldn't see or be seen. And I spent most of the time like with Sam, baby Sam, in the tiniest indoor compartment that you'd see on like a ferry, but like walking up to like the second floor of a ferry, there'd be just a small little area where you'd walk out from the steps. That's what I was in with Sam and just praying that he didn't shit his pants or want to be fed. You know, it was horrible. And it was a solid hour out and a solid hour back.
Yeah. And nobody had a good time. I can guarantee you that.
I don't think so.
Kids don't want to be on boats.
Here's the thing that's interesting, Jess, is because I've checked in with other people who were there. And what I couldn't do then, I was also like postpartum and a fucking wreck, was just accept this is what's going on.
What are you going to do? I had to accept it's raining. It's just raining.
It's
12 out of the 15
raining.
Days. And I have paid a pretty penny. And did I go on to see what a villa in Mallorca would have cost me for this amount of time? And was it less? And will I be there in June? the moment I get my first paycheck from Avenue 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I will, because I know different things now about Weathers. And BB did say, I'm starting to see why people live in California. You know, I could see that. I could see that. But yes, it's the radical acceptance that will set us free, because wanting it to be something different than it is what causes pain. Right?
Amen, sister. And I'm feeling that with the pandemic right now. Like, we started this podcast and I was like, oh, it's over. Everybody's vaccinated.
Oh, God damn it. It's back. God damn it.
Like, fucking hell. Okay. So here's the only medical advice that I will completely stand behind.
Yeah.
Everybody get fucking vaccinated. Like, I can't.
I can't with this. I almost had a fist fight with a man, a dad, some fucking dad, who said to me, and I quote, you know, why should I get vaccinated? I live in the safest place on earth.
Oh my God.
And I said, you're a host, motherfucker. You're a host. You know, fuck you. So yeah, 30% of Los Angeles isn't vaccinated. Shame.
Shame. Shame. I want to walk you down the street with like an old timey, like shame.
Like what you would do to a witch.
Shame.
Yeah. To a
shame.
Yeah. Shame
yes.
on you. Come out shame of your house and let
you
me say,
and look at me. And I'd like to spit on say you. Shame.
I'm going to spit on
shame.
You.
Shame.
I spit on you if you are waiting to hear what. Oh, and I get, I just don't know what it's about. Well, guess what?
Yeah. Well, guess what? Our fucking kids aren't going to be able to go to school in September.
I'm going to fucking go bananas.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame. Okay.
So I don't mean to end it on that dark note.
But shame. Listen, but shame.
But shame. And but seriously, and don't be afraid to shame people either. If you hear it, I wish I could go back and tell that dad to go fuck himself. And I'm going to do it next time.
Now, they say shame doesn't work and motivate people. I hear that. You know what I mean? But
I
just
know.
Like, I don't know what to do at this point. But I'm trying to also accept, like, okay, this is now the moment we're in again. Like, okay. You know, that's been really hard because the fluctuations of this are just like so traumatizing, I think, for everybody.
Yeah. The idea of being forced back in here's the other thing I'll just say. And then I know we've taken it down. The children have not chosen this. They have not chosen this. And mothers everywhere are trying to figure out, parents, how to protect them from the idiot behaviors of adults. And it is just
shameful.
It breaks my heart in 1 billion pieces, and all we can do is use our voice to say, you know, we shame you
and we shame you and please get vaccinated.
And honestly, I don't believe any of our deep divers haven't gotten vaxxed, because every one of these women is, you know,
I agree.
Gold. But please, if you haven't and you're waiting, I'm telling you what, I got chemo next to a woman who was 9 months pregnant. She had the baby and went back to chemo. The baby was fine. My point is, it can withstand a lot of different drugs and things. It can withstand this vaccine. I promise you.
I will also say, like, the anti-vax movement is so interesting, because it's like, this is literally, I consider vaccinations to be the greatest feat that humanity has
That's
been
right.
responsible for. Like, That's we right. have, it is our greatest accomplishment as human fucking beings.
Especially
it is
this
our
vaccine.
Greatest.
This vaccine.
This, all of them. It's our greatest accomplishment. Let's take so much pride in it and let's get fucking vaccinated. Deep divers, that was a lot, but enjoy this really funny, hilarious, wonderful conversation with the one and only Morgan Walsh. Please name my BET show. That's all I care about. Six episodes, guys. Not a small run.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What BET show are you on?
Guys, games people play. Are you not? You call yourselves my friends.
Deep divers, we're in. And
we're already in it.
We're in and we're confounded. Before we've even begun, we have a very, very special guest with us who's giving us a credit of hers we did not know about.
Her name is Morgan Walsh. You may know her as the founder of the nonprofit Gender Nation. She's an entrepreneur, she's an actress, and she's really a very dear, dear friend. I am happy you're here.
I'm thrilled.
I thought we could get started talking about something we spoke in depth about this past New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But you told me something that I'll never forget because I've struggled with my hormones my entire life. Never known not to.
Yeah.
Never.
But I didn't know I was struggling with my hormones. I thought I was struggling with myself.
Oh, preach. I thought this is me. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And this is actually more me than I'm allowing myself to be the rest of the month. Like actually yeah. the monster that I become is the monster I am. I just have better tools throughout the rest of the month to contain her. Now you said that every month you track your period and put the letter H for hopeless.
Yes.
Next to the day.
Yes.
Next to the day your period would start.
Yeah. It's changed my life.
Boy, did that resonate.
You feel hopeless that day or the week before? Because I used to, before I went into menopause at 39, which is, I just recently said to Morgan, the only silver lining of going into menopause at 39, and that's, I did that for breast cancer sake, is that when I'm done and I've figured it out, you guys are going to start. So I'm going to be in a good spot while you guys are suffering.
It's not that you can impart your wisdom on us. I love that you're like, it's not that you're like, I'm going to figure out what works and then I'll pass it on. No, it's so she can laugh at us.
Anyway, but Morgan, tell us. So do you feel hopeless that day?
No, no, no. It's a couple days before.
It's a couple. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. It's a couple days before for me too.
Yeah. And it's brutal. And the hopelessness started really, I'm going to say, in the last 3 years. Like I had my rage and I had my emotional outbursts, but hopelessness has been like, oh.
Because that's as you get older and closer to perimenopause or maybe in it, who knows, because it starts at all different times.
Yeah.
It's getting more intense.
I mean, my therapist was like, when I went in to get medication for this, because I realized, oh, I need something that helps me through it.
And by the way, you and I started almost at the exact same time, which is so weird.
And the same medication.
Yes.
And thank God, we were talking about this yesterday. I don't know why we're supposed to white knuckle this shit. I'm so done with that.
Well, they want, I feel like the world, by they, I mean like the universe wants women to white knuckle everything.
Fuck that.
Like we're supposed to handle it all with grace and never get upset and also be achieving and also pretty. And yes, at this table, we are all those things.
That's true.
We're achieving, sure. We're pretty.
Sure.
Yeah, we are.
But we might need a little.
We might need a little helper.
Yeah, I'm drinking my water right now.
It truly is. 5 milligrams of Prozac has become mother's little helper.
Well, no, but that even sounds like I also struggled for
She's
so
like, that's
long.
Not enough.
I know, by the way, so don't be surprised when I up it, guys. Don't be surprised.
As Casey Wilson says, up, up, up.
No, but I struggled for so long thinking that I was weak. Yeah. If I had to do this.
I thought it was a monster. Like you said, I thought like I'm a bad person. Or for me, like I have alcoholism too. So I'm like, oh, it's my alcoholism. Like I'm not working a hard enough program. There's a million reasons why I'm falling short in those episodes.
So what would happen to you? Because I mean, I'm surprised because I feel like people do perceive me as an angry person, but I don't put that on you ever. Like, yeah. I never see that color on you.
It does show up for me in a different way. Like at home, okay, my husband, he might say like, no.
He might tell a different tale. Yeah.
But I will say it's like the choice of that word, I mean, because I would feel like, oh, here's the deal. Like my heart, this is my internal dialogue. My heart's going to keep beating. I'm still going to be a mom of three. I'm going to have a lot of things to get through today. And also, what's the point?
Oh.
But I'm not going to stop. Like, I know I'm being called to the table. Yes, I have to keep going. And I'll just keep to myself, because that is a big part of it, I think, is the keeping it.
There's so much shame around it. So much shame.
And clouds. Because I'll say, I didn't even think that there was something going on that other people, A, would relate to, or B, was treatable, mm-hmm. or C, changeable, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, this is just how it is. mm-hmm. and there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And in those few days, I'm like, this is how it is from now on.
Oh, God, you know? I so relate to that. And I don't, I the catastrophizing and the mm-hmm. sort of, and I have this a lot with parenting in a way I don't necessarily professionally, which is weird. Professionally, when I deal with failure or success, I'm much more comfortable with knowing it's fleeting, that another right. moment right. might right. arise. When it's personal, when it's something that's going on with my children, or especially in the postpartum state or in the 3 days before my period, for me, it's really 7 days. Like, I'm in it right now. I'm starting
one
to feel
quarter, and I'm not good at math of your
you're terrible
month,
at math
at your, of your
correct.
Month.
But let's also include,
which is a lot,
which is that's a lot. And let's also include ovulation because I go through something then as well. Mm-hmm. So that leaves me with about a week, a month mm-hmm. of feeling a like
resilient, a stable,
no,
stabilized.
I will not
accept
stand
that.
For
no.
this.
No, it's too much. But I also have felt personally, it's
your
much
character.
Harder.
You're like,
yes,
yeah.
it's much mm. harder for me to be like, this moment isn't every moment.
Right.
And especially hormonally, it is such a, like, it's such a drop off. It's such a cliff jump into, I don't know. It's really it's,
deep sadness.
It's really deep sadness. And sometimes I look at men and I look at my husband and I see him behaving pretty much the same every day.
Yeah.
Well, they don't go through that ride. And, you know, because I had such an abrupt shift, like I went from one day I had hormones, I had estrogen, and the next day I did not. And I would never have it again.
And yeah.
And after, I mean, I was thinking the other day, you and I, after these deep dives, say like, did we share too much? Because like, I mean, we're really coming at yeah, you, yeah. authentic deep divers. And I hope you're coming back to us with that. But I had a definite breakdown, which I now think was contributed. A lot of it was trauma, but I think a tremendous amount of it was my lack of hormones. And it had just like it stopped because I felt that hopelessness then, but it lasted for like 6 months.
That's why it's so good that you guys are doing this, that you're talking about it and sharing it. Because I do think as women, like you're saying, in the world of out there with men around us and the momentum of life just continues. There isn't like a, hey, are you going mm-hmm. through that? You think you're alone and it's a solitary pain.
That's
agony.
Why I do love, I don't know if anyone's watched Fleabag, but the first mm-hmm. season of Fleabag, I loved so much. I love both, but I loved that she's constantly talking about where she is on her cycle.
Oh, that's good.
It is just hilarious to me. And it's where so other people good. Are about her sister, like she's about to get her period. Like it is. And then some women have no reaction to their menstrual cycles. And I look at them and I just wonder what that must be like. I do think there's also something I want to say to our deep divers, because this to me has happened to many of the women I know in my life. You're one of them, Morgan, where your periods get worse after childbirth.
Yes.
And why is that? Is that a hormone?
From what my psychiatrist said when I explained to her what I was going through and how I was becoming violent and like a rage that was like, I'm becoming a werewolf before my very eyes.
Which, by the way, you and Casey were asked to do
in
an acting
class. I was asked
to
transform into a werewolf in an acting class.
Yes.
Casey was not.
No, but she had to look you in the eye while you transformed and pretend like nothing was happening.
An acting coach whispered in your ear,
okay, let me set this up. Yeah, let me set this up for a second.
Begin your transformation.
We've seen the reenactment.
Were you there, Morgan?
No, I've told it as if I was there. I think I've taken it on as my own.
I feel like I was there.
You pretty much were.
Because
I know the teacher, you were in another session of that class. So you do know.
Where I was
what happened was this, and by the way, it caused a really big upset between me and Casey. Like we had to kind of go so insane. So the acting exercise was like dramatic improv, which no one should ever do. First
and you
of
pulled
all.
A slip of paper.
We pulled a slip of paper, and there was one line on the paper that was supposed to initiate the scene.
Okay. And okay? What was the line?
The line was something along the lines of, have you seen the moon tonight?
I would okay. immediately go to werewolf.
Okay.
Really,
yeah,
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I would. Yeah.
So what happened was you had to take the line and then you had to like find a tableau. By the way, the entire class was circled around us. We were in the middle of a circle. And then
how this was going to help you book a sitcom,
God knows.
Nobody knows.
So the tabloid
the things I did in
took,
that class.
Oh, Morgan has some tales to tell. So we took the pose of me directly behind Casey, sort of with one arm around her shoulder. That was the wrong choice. So then I say the
or
line,
the right
have
choice.
You seen the moon tonight?
Oh, God.
Okay. And now Casey says something, and then... And she says something that's making it even clearer. Like, what she says something along the lines of, like, what's going on with you? And then it becomes very clear. Like, I'm
a werewolf.
You do have the eyes. You do have the eyes of a husky and a wolf.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I'm standing there and we are amongst peers, like really dear friends I've worked with professionally. And I'm like, okay, Jim.
Now we're standing there and I continue this line. I yes end it and say, I just feel different. I feel different with the moon. And then she turns to me and she says, you look different. And now it's like, we're in. Okay?
I don't want to be here for this.
I was literally like, swallow me, earth. Like, please swallow me. And then the teacher's watching and he says, June, begin your transformation.
I know that teacher. I know this room. I'm really in this.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
What did you do?
She curled her hands.
She curled her hands like crawl.
Your hands became like talons. Yes, and then did you vocalize?
I don't think I did. But when I tell you what was so upsetting about it is I felt like I should have been given an Oscar for what I was doing. I had to look Casey in the eye and transform into a...
Yes.
Is something okay. So intimate. And she was angry about it?
Well, what happened was...
I think you deserve a Medal of Honor.
I deserve a fucking Oscar.
Like a Purple Heart for this.
Okay, so I then... Like sort of
yeah, you become rigid
my hands, but it was mostly handwork.
Was it?
Yeah.
You know, was it like the close up that happens in Teen Wolf? Because I feel like what
chink, 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 like go, each yeah, finger,
and then you see a little bit of hair come out from under his jean jacket, like just like and the veins.
Yes,
that's how transformation starts.
That was how the transformation started.
Expert,
but and again, like the fact that I didn't start crying laughing, the fact that I didn't run out of there, the fact that I stayed in it as much as I could. And then he yelled like, okay, end scene. And he ripped me a new fucking asshole.
Why?
He ripped me a new asshole. He was like, I'll never forget it. He goes, well, you just had an opportunity. You had an opportunity. You can be anything. You didn't want to take this opportunity. You just missed a chance at becoming a werewolf.
Well, what were you supposed to do? Rip your best friend's face off and eat it?
Yes, I think so.
Fuck.
Yes, I think so. And I was like, that's
it's
all
not
well
right.
and
that's
good.
Not right.
That's all well and good. But like, I thought I did the I thought
you
when he yelled
the best
cut,
werewolf
he was going to be like,
do.
He was going to be like, wow, you went there.
Yeah.
You know, in as real a place as I could possibly access without being insane. And he was basically like, you're not willing to take risks as an actress. Like, you have to look at this. You have to look at why you're not willing to jump in and transform.
My God, help us.
And what
yet again, a man telling us.
What
we need
and
to
where
feel
we're falling
it
short.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah,
so anyway, why Casey and I got into a fight, I can't remember. I think it was that we went out to drinks afterward to kind of like come down off of it with some friends who were in that class. And I felt like it sounds insane to say now, but I felt like she was not giving me enough credit.
Oh my God.
You know, we're going to have to unpack this in another
that's
deep
a second
dive.
Deep dive for her.
I honestly can't remember. But interestingly enough,
like it is true. You begin your transformation when you have these hormonal
begin your transformation.
Shifts. And it's like you almost have to own it. I think to be in denial of it is what causes the problem.
What
I say,
wish,
I need to white knuckle this or it's not happening.
I wish I had a sign above my head at all times. Like, this is the phase I'm in.
Anyway, that's a sidebar.
So that's great to know. And that's important information. So
there's a hack for almost everything is what I'll say about the menopause of it all. There's a hack for almost everything.
And have you found Prozac to be a huge help?
tell us about Prozac and what it felt like.
Oh, guys, I am living in Prozac Nation. And I like it here. So again, I don't know I'm taking enough.
Yeah.
So I'm on what my psychiatrist called a child's dose. But I am also, because I've never taken anything before, what she called something like prescription naive or something like that. So I do think it has a really big effect on me just because I don't have anything else in my system.
Right.
I don't take birth control. I just don't have a lot going through me. And I have been known to be really sensitive to drugs and alcohol.
That's good. Yeah. Yes. So you don't have to take a lot. Exactly. Although if you do have to take a lot, that's also
great
okay.
too. I started off taking it just the week before my period.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped. It really helped.
What did now, it do? Like, what do you mean by helped? Like, did you feel less irritable? Did you feel happier? I mean, did the hopelessness go away?
So hopelessness, I totally relate to, but my bigger problem is irritation and short fusedness and just feeling like I want to burn things to the ground.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also Scorpio rising, so we have to consider that.
Obviously. Yes. Got to look at
when
it.
When we're that's first on the list.
We have to talk about the whole woman.
Yeah, okay? Of course.
And so the stars play a pretty big part in this. But so I'm already primed to want to kind of destroy both myself and others.
right. You got to burn it down.
I got to burn it down. And I'm like, oh, I know the thing I shouldn't say. Like, that's what I'll go for.
You don't also have a pause. I think that's, do you feel like
that's the only thing I've
cultivated.
Do you
trigger or you know you're going to wound and you do it anyway?
So.
Because I never have a pause. That's my biggest problem.
I had more of a pause. In certain areas of my life, I think I do. I have more of a professional pause, but of course, to the people I love the most, I don't have that pause. I'm not able to exercise that. So really what it's helped with, I started taking it the week before, and never in my life since I was 12 did I not know my period was coming on like a freight train, like a fucking freight train. I've just always known it every month. Like, here we go again. Mm-hmm. And the not wanting to be touched, but also being like very, my sex drive being almost out of control, but like I'm so irritated as well.
Yeah.
People are toxic to me. And I don't know. Just
and now
not
your period surprises
my
you
reaction.
Because
surprising. Now I still have the physical stuff. So not all that surprising, but also, but so much better. So I feel like what it's done for me. And then, by the way, long story short, after 2 months, I was like, I'm just staying on this all the time.
That's the same story I have.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, right. We talked about this, Morgan. So what it does for me is I feel like I'm still yelling and
you're still witness hurtful. Yourself yelling.
I'm still quite hurtful.
Yeah.
But I'm
not attached
more forgiving
to it.
Of myself, not as attached to it, not as attached to the, like, why did you do that?
Right. You're a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't have time for that. Also, then you can repair. Then you can say like, hey, I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry.
Like that.
I can apologize.
Yeah. Have you heard that? You just reminded me of it. The hungry halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yes. Whoa. Is that
it's a sober thing.
I want to talk about the 12 steps of it all, because I will say that Morgan is one of the most emotionally aware and advanced of our group. Like, I think we've...
One minute I was Betty White, and the next minute I'm...
You're really both.
I mean, I'm Oprah, basically Oprah.
Sometimes Betty, like, stumbled on something good. No, but you really are, like, and I feel like we're all catching up with you. Like, at 30, you know, you were, like,
I just remember taking a call from a sponsee in a car while we were driving to
the Cabazon. We were going to the Cabazon outlets, by the way, where Casey and I bought matching blazers.
And then I think I went back and got the same
What a waste.
Blazer. I bought the same sweatshirt as her. It was, like, an orange. Waste. It was very cute.
When I was like, theory is where it's at.
Okay, but again, if they want to come on as a sponsor, happy to have them.
It takes everything in me to not shop at Eileen Fisher.
Honey,
Morgan, we ain't there yet.
Or what about, honey, but do you ever get
Look
like
at
a,
my scarf right now? I'm wearing it.
But do you get like a Garnet Hill catalog? And I was actually flipping through it the other day, and BB came by and she goes, no, 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 no. Anyway, Morgan, tell us about what it's like to go from fucking out of control. And I will be honest, I do enjoy the stories
of
when you were living the LA life.
Wait, I want to, I will say this. I always feel, because we've all been,
say to a sober person, I really enjoyed the stories when you were not sober.
It tracks from you. It tracks. But like sometimes when we've, because we've been friends for years now, right? So when we'd like get together and talk, and every once in a while, much like you guys feel after a deep dive recording, you'll be like, did I go too far? Mm-hmm. I've had many a time where I've been like, did I overshare?
Oh, never. You can never, never overshare. Morgan.
Guys, but sometimes the looks on your faces.
Oh, no.
After I've told you how I've like blacked out and climbed into a fireman's truck for a ride home after trying to put curtains up at my boyfriend's house.
But I want to.
I also, one of my glory moments, it's funny and also tragic, but those giant novelty bottles of Chardonnay that Mexican restaurants have.
Oh, my.
Yes. They're, my boyfriend at the time had one of those, a big one as decor in his house, as 20 something men do. And I had started drinking, was like in my cups, as they say. And he was out of the house, and I was trying to make my way. You can't see me, listeners, but I was trying to make my way into this giant bottle of Chardonnay. And when I say giant, I mean like the size of a 4-year-old child. It's like a big,
it's like the movie Big. And like some, like you would find it F.E.O. Schwartz if they sold like a bottle.
Yes.
They
can you even get into those?
This is why this is the problem.
Yeah.
I'm stabbing the cork trying to get into it. But then once I had breakthrough, I realized I couldn't lift to drink.
This is not
It was not right.
But tell us,
years
Morgan,
ago, 13 years sober now.
Well, I think
now.
What's so surprising, though, and why you're seeing those looks is because for so many of us, you entered into motherhood before we did.
Yeah. Yes.
And you were a pioneer woman in that way. And like,
when killing it.
Absolutely. Like, went across the Oregon Trail first. You know, and live to tell the tales. And so you really did sort of create a path ahead of us. So that's why I think it's so surprising and we're so interested in those stories, because it's just not where we met you.
Right.
But also,
thank God.
Do you ever feel, Morgan, like, because I feel this way about cancer sometimes. Thank God I went through it, because I'm a better person.
All the time.
Really? Like, because you are given tools that I feel like nobody's given.
It,
or people spend thousands and thousands of dollars of therapy to try and get.
Yeah. I all the time go, oh my God, I would not have a manual for living. Like, I used to think, I'd look around at people and I'm like, oh, they know how to have car insurance and open their mail and and have intimate conversations. Like, your rage that you talk about, for me, that's like a fight or flight, right? Mm-hmm. If there's a conflict, like I'll have that conflict, but I'm like, oh, that means this relationship can't withstand that. So it's now over. So if I say how I feel or how you hurt my feelings, like then this all has to go away. And that's really sad. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, I come with those things programmed in
and
me.
And was that why you were drinking, to numb that, one of the many feelings? But was that a big one? That fear?
Yes. I believe I was born an alcoholic. Maybe different people feel differently. I think it runs in my family. There's a great phrase that I heard early on, which I found so helpful, which was, I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And so it's like, beautiful. Oh, I just have a thing. Like, you had cancer, not to minimize.
Or diabetes.
Yes. It's
or
like, eating disorder. I treat this. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just something that requires treatment. And the thing that makes it a gift, the thing that I think for me, alcoholism is a gift, is that the solution is spiritual. The solution are tools that help me live a better, more complete life, that connect me with the people I love and the world around me, as opposed to like, oh, I have to just take a pill or something to solve the problem.
Right.
The solution is
beautiful. You know, it's like a daily practice.
Yeah.
And I think now it's almost like spiritually, I feel like people are waking up a little bit or getting like meditation. These are things that people are more aware of. But like for you, every day you're like, I got to do this, this, and this. or else I would have a problem.
And it gradually becomes a working part of the mind. So that's in the beginning, crazy. It was like trying to be a person in the, and now it's like, oh, these are things I wouldn't trade now. Like if for me, the fear of taking a drink, yes, although it like maybe underscores why I do it, it's not the go-to. The go-to now is like rage or fear, isolation, like feelings of loneliness. Like those are the things that I now have to treat.
Right.
If that's making sense.
Because we both started medication for our hormones at the same time, I had a lot of complicated feelings about
me too
going on medication. Yeah, and I'm curious how Prozac has helped or what you find challenging about it and how you got through your addictive personality with like including
a medication.
Yeah.
That's such a good question. I went for a long time trying to just apply the spiritual tools I use to my hormones, right? I didn't know that that's what I was applying them to, but I was like, oh, my maladjustedness to life is my problem. So I'm going to try to treat with these other tools, meditation, prayer, outreach. And then when I realized, oh, I do really think this is hormonal because I had fallen into a really deep depression and I couldn't point to any external situation that had changed in my life. I have three awesome kids. I have an awesome marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm like great friends. Like I couldn't say, sure, there's things that I struggle with in life, but I couldn't point to a specific trauma. But I needed to talk to it about other people I know in sobriety. And I had to say, like, this is what I'm thinking of doing because I'm applying these things and I'm not getting relief.
Yeah.
The tools that I'm applying without getting too heady, they were helping me move through the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like all those painful feelings I have were not paralyzing me because right. I had enough things I could apply to keep me moving. But I also wanted to enjoy.
Yep. Yes. Life is short.
I just felt like I was missing out on a feeling of joy where right. there should be joy.
Right.
And even like a feeling of being just one among many. Like I was really feeling less than, actively less than. So I was like having to work so hard to get at a baseline where I perceive other people are already operating.
I hear this.
So I just fully disclosed everything to the people I looked to for guidance in sobriety and then also to the doctor I went to. And it was your recommendation, yeah. St. Clair.
Yeah.
The doctor I went to. And I just told her everything. I said, I don't want to get, mixed up in too many things. Like, this is where I'm at. And she's like, I treat a ton of people in sobriety. This is what I'll recommend.
That's great.
She's like, this is what I recommend. It doesn't alter you in a certain way. It's very specific. I'm basically a doctor. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to sound really smart, but the neuro pathways it attaches to, is that, I don't
know. But it's very the important. Brain waves.
And I had to overcome some embarrassment because I'm not picking up a spiritual tool. I'm having to like take a quote unquote shortcut. And then much like what the gift you guys are giving people by having this conversation on a podcast, it's like, oh, I talked to enough people and enough women that I was like, I don't have to feel ashamed.
And I do think that sometimes it's because I also felt the stigma and I think now what I'm so curious about is now feeling so much better, the stigma doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's so fascinating. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess there is a stigma. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
You know, because I found some real relief around this area. And it's interesting. I got into it with my therapist the other day because I've been seeing.
Sorry. It's just like the best.
I've been seeing my therapist for over a decade. I mean, she's been with me more than a decade, 15 years. She's been with me when my mother died, when my father, I mean, she's seen everything. And I did have to say to her, after my dad died and Trump was elected and I was postpartum, I should have been on medication. And 100%. Casey called me and told me that. But I couldn't.
Up,
ladies.
There's a t-shirt.
I couldn't see it.
That is a t-shirt.
She should have seen. I feel some rage about that.
I did say to my therapist, I have to be honest, I'm concerned you didn't recommend I get on something.
What was her answer?
Her answer was, you feel that I failed you. And I said, yes, I do. And she said, you know, I think that's valid. I also couldn't get it. Her defense was like, I couldn't get in touch with you to know where you were as much as I wanted to know where you were, which is true because I avoided calling her for months.
As much, yeah.
I mean, I've paid for, I don't know, years worth of therapy sessions that I've never gone to. Right. But, and as many of our listeners might know from Bish Sesh, I also a lot of times was going to therapy and then falling asleep immediately.
Mm-hmm. What?
So I spent a lot of time in my therapist's office simply sleeping. But so I have a complicated relationship there.
When you're confronting things, it's fatiguing.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Morgan. Grief is exhausting.
But you're paying to have someone watch you sleep.
And I liked it. And for me,
Casey's fallen asleep many a cave day, remote cave day.
Yes.
She'll sleep at her computer.
You know, Lennon recently got a massage where the woman massaging her fell asleep on her multiple times. She just would slide down.
I don't like that one bit.
Not right.
Well, I said to my therapist, though, I was like, you know, because she did at one point say to me, I'm concerned you've paid for like 3 months worth of sessions and haven't come. And I said, she's like, do you want to do this anymore? Because I'm uncomfortable taking your money. And I said, I am very comfortable paying you to not see you.
And also you failed me.
And that's because, I mean, this was a strange thing to describe, but I said, not having parents alive, I like the idea of you out there.
I understand that.
I like the idea of you out there. And she goes, do you like, oh, so insane. We need to do a whole episode on therapy.
Of course.
But she said, do you like me waiting here for you?
That's sweet.
And I said, I do. Later on, because when it's happening, a lot of times I forget and then look at my calendar and oops, that was at noon. I said, but later on,
we often forget the things we need to do the most. Yeah. It's like when you go to the gym and they say, well, do the thing you hate the most first.
Yeah.
And it's like that, believe me, I went AWOL. Instead, I left a sitcom taping in which I'd gotten some pretty nasty notes. And I got in my car and I drove to North Hollywood and I bought 4 gigantic slabs of Carrara marble.
I see A to B there. I can draw that line. Yeah.
I said, I want 4 of your biggest slabs. I want as much.
Did you have somewhere to put them?
Nope. I said, hold them. I didn't even have somebody to put them into my kitchen.
Wow. Yeah.
But
because you know what? I've gone to that North Hollywood marble slab store.
There's several, and so many things
are always on hold. Like when you look at it,
they're like, well, this one's on hold.
Yeah, they're on hold for you.
Who are having nervous breakdowns.
There's women all over the city who have marble
on hold. Dan was very upset. He's like, what therapist is missing this? Because I really do, but it's so difficult because we're reporting to these people.
Yeah.
They're not like shadowing you. I wish they were.
But sometimes I do think that's why I've been helped by Prozac is now I'm actually able to get to her. Not all the time. I missed last week, but and paid handsomely for it. But I mean, I'm more able with a little lift, mm-hmm.
Talk therapy is often not enough. I will say this, for having done it for so many years, I don't know.
Now, our listeners should know, I've been in full analysis. So we're talking psychoanalysis I was in psychoanalysis for almost 8 years.
Okay.
So that's lying on the couch 5 days a week. An hour a session. So that's a different thing.
But
okay,
I've
now gone down to 1 day a week.
But I do think you've been doing it, guys, that is insane. But if you've been doing it and you're feeling still like, oh my God, why is nothing changing? Like that might not be enough. I did DBT, you know, dialectical behavioral therapy, which was I was so embarrassed to go do this.
And that's like little eye movements?
No, DBT is basically a it's like emotions for kindergartners. It's like if you were not taught how to regulate, it's emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. They borrow a lot of it from the 12-step program. Mm. But there I was in a group. You have to go twice a week and you're in a group with, there was a guy who had punched somebody at a used car sales, like a punched a used car salesman because he looked at his girlfriend wrong. There was a lovely young girl who was living with her parents who were having a divorce in front of her and like an affair in front of her, and she just couldn't get her schoolwork done. There was a woman who goes, you know what? She goes, I went off the rails for 72 hours. I woke up in Vegas having like blown $200,000. And I didn't remember it happening. And then there was me who was like, I would like to become a better mom before I have a baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to stop myself. But these were like tools.
So yeah, they're not just talk therapy. You mean
it is like not talk therapy. It is tools. Like, okay, you're feeling this. Then you got to go do X, Y, and Z. You got to go take a walk. You got to jump in a hot shower. You got to
buy.
But I will say where it failed me is that when you are in your fight or flight amygdala brain, your lizard brain, because you are so triggered, you can't use your frontal lobe's not on. Yeah. Frontal lobe is what makes you be able to make rational decisions. And so I then have been doing right now somatic therapy, which is to work with the body to calm your parasympathetic nervous system so that your fucking frontal lobe can turn back on.
Wow.
Because I was beating the shit out of myself. I'm like, why can't I follow my rules? And it's like, you can't because you're in fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as if your brain has gone dead. So what turns that on is walking.
Getting in your body.
Going right, left, right left.
Right,
left,
right brain, left
you know?
Brain.
Yes.
Feeling the ground.
Taking a walk helps you. Breathing helps you. Staying in your, what they call your resiliency zone.
And then Prozac comes into play when those tools and everything else that you can't, isn't working, but Prozac will let you apply the tools.
Are you having any issues with it?
I think I gained weight.
That's an issue.
But I brought that to my lady.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know why I'm gaining weight. And she said, it usually goes back down like once after a little while, but I think there's a few things happening with weight gain because our daughter started sleeping in our bed again. And so I think I'm not getting all the REM sleep I need.
Yeah. And that cortisol goes up. You might be stressed. Oh. Well, I'd love to introduce you to the faster way.
No, no, no. I got a little slice of it before you came in.
Kindergarten teacher is part of a fitness program called the Faster Way that I have since engaged
subscribed
in.
To.
It's intermittent fasting.
Oh, so girl, I'm all over that.
16 hours fasting, 8 hours feed that's, window.
I hate the phrase feed window so much.
So much.
Feed window.
Intermittent fasting is like pretty much, I've been on it before it was even a thing.
Okay, well, don't brag about
it. I'm bragging.
So just so you know, well, like I basically created it.
Okay, so you've been doing this and like what I wanted to say, number one is fuck you.
Okay. Yeah, it's not
for
sustainable.
Not telling me about it. It is sustainable.
When I tell people about it, they say you have an eating disorder.
No, that's
and
not
I
true.
Say, I beg to differ, and probably I do.
Well, let me give you the cancer research about it. Which
and you're
is,
not going to go to your therapist to find
no,
out.
I won't be talking.
You will be paying her.
I will go there and I'll sleep and I'll dream about it. But
well, you're sleeping because you don't have enough nutrition. But listen, have I done all the research? No. Will I do it?
No.
But from what I hear, first of all, my oncologist.
From what I hear from a tiny voice inside the back of my own brain, this is what I think.
No, but from what I hear, and my oncologist did say, and I quote, go ahead and try it. I mean, it's not going to hurt you.
The fatigue you put your doctors through, I can only imagine.
She's just like, I guess, Jessica, like, you got to lose 10 pounds. I don't care how the fuck you do it.
You know what? Go ahead and try it. Like, they're just like, fine, whatever.
It's like Dan says, I'm going to let this one blow up on its own. He's not even like getting, but no, but this one is legit, I think, in that you give your body time to repair itself when you're not digesting all the time.
But here's the thing. I have an addictive way. I am in my cells addictive. So for me, like I can check every box of every diet
aside
from the faster way, which I'm intrigued by and will probably pick up.
It's $1.99. And if you give my name at checkout.
Oh God, here we go.
No.
This is not a sponsored ad. I have nothing to do with this. And just so you know, I would like to talk to you both about a sauna bed I've just purchased.
Wait, a what?
A sauna? Can I come over?
A sauna bed.
Is that, I'm sorry, is it called, is the brand Asana or is
sauna? No, it's a lay down bed.
Shape House, which is directly.
And you bought it.
I bought the bed.
For your home.
Couple hundred dollars.
Okay, and you lay in it like a vampire or what?
It's $200.
It's maybe, I'll have to look on Amazon, it's $200 or $300.
You lay in it like a vampire. What do you do? Do you close it on you?
It's better to have someone else put you in it like a little cocoon, but I haven't had this, I haven't had the courage to ask Paul to get me to tuck me in. So I've done it myself, but you pump, you get in it, you got to put towels down or a plastic wrap. I'm going to recommend towels just because the plastic wraps are single use plastic, but you can't really do anything with it. So
do you put towels around you on your skin first?
No, I go in like Rocky.
Okay.
With a hoodie on, socks, heavy airplane socks, a heavy sweatshirt and sweatpants. And then I get in there and I try to wrap myself in as tightly as possible. I take a little yoga block. I put it behind my head. So I'm a little, up. And then I turn the TV on.
And you sweat? And you sweat.
Are we talking 40 minutes? 30
We're talking
minutes?
60 minutes at 80 degrees, which is the highest.
Okay. So my hot flashes are really having a hard time with this. But
I mean, and it depends on whether you like to sweat or not. I really respond to it. My body responds to it. Me too. I will report this. I am seeing such a change in my metabolism.
Ooh,
I am sleeping better than I ever have in my entire life, where a lot of times I'll fall asleep in there and be like, wake up. And it's only 9 o'clock. I'm passing out at night and I'm in a coma and I wake up.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I like that.
Sleep is wonderful.
I'm also seeing a difference in my skin.
Yeah, well, your skin looks great.
The biggest thing for me though is when you talk about weight fluctuation, Morgan, my entire life is the weight fluctuation according to my cycle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm super bloated when I get my period, like to a degree that's like I'm literally a different body.
Yes. It's crazy.
And you're noticing
a difference now that you've been using it.
The water weight that my body wants to hold on to, and around ovulation too, I bloat.
Do you have an IUD?
No, I don't have any birth control.
Did you ever do that?
Nope.
I don't. Did it help with bloating?
No. It really affected my periods and made them really long. I had like 1 week, a month I wasn't on a period. Now I don't have it at all.
Okay.
Now I have
nothing. Guys, I'm not interested in birth control. Well, I was on it for so long. It's the first thing they told me to get off the second I got diagnosed.
But sometimes I do wonder what happens to female bodies hormone-wise because we're not producing as many children.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing about birth control, like I can see.
Well, it does protect, I guess, against ovarian cancer.
Exactly.
Right.
Because our bodies are like, wait a second, every month you're not going to do anything with
this? Right.
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of effect that has on
us.
So I don't know, ultimately. Anyway, the sauna bed.
That's interesting. Again, do we have the research?
No. And will we find it?
No.
Was I told about it?
Yeah.
Was that enough?
Sure. But here's the thing. There is a really serious thing about hormones and weight gain, because I remember looking at my mom when she was in menopause. Obviously, I didn't know it, nor did I care. I was too busy telling her fuck off and trying to get like fingered in, like
short finger blast
attic bedroom.
Sure. Yeah.
But I remember being like, I mean, if she just did sit-ups, like she wouldn't have like a problem with her middle. And it was like, no, she was putting on weight because when you're in menopause, you eat something the same amount and you gain it twice.
Yeah.
And then they say to you, well, every pound on you in menopause, it's so dangerous because that's more estrogen. Fat creates estrogen. So you got to try to keep your weight down because the skinny mice live the longest. And you're like, but I can't fuck it again. That's
a
research that I don't know is true. And
we won't look it up.
But they don't want you to have, too much extra weight on you, but it's impossible to lose. And so we do need to investigate these things as long as they're safe.
And I can't say that they are.
We can't. Saunas. We need the fasting. As long as it's safe, we do need to hack it. You got to find hacks for this stuff.
So let me ask you, I'm curious about our mothers and their hormone cycles. Do you know what your mom went through with menopause?
I don't know about her menopause, but I know her childbirth with me was very similar. It was like 3 days of labor, really intense. And her period was always a thing. Now that this is something I haven't thought about at all until you're asking
me. Why aren't we talking to our mothers about this?
Yeah.
Well, you're as dead as a doornail, but.
Yeah, I wish I could. She's tech on a veil.
I don't know why I just said that.
That ship has sailed.
Maybe your sisters know.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I mean, Irish Catholic.
Yes.
That's not that information.
Isn't it weird too? Like, my mom, it was like a progressive. She's a lawyer. She was, you know, would go in women's marches. Like, she was so politically active, and still, just because generationally there were these things that we don't talk about. Like, no, masturbation was never discussed.
Oh, never.
Are you kidding me, Morgan?
But I'm like, how I didn't understand.
I mean,
I said that
word in front of Jessica the other day, and she like freaked out.
She was staring in my eyes when she said it.
Begin transformation. But
yeah. Have we been speaking for 2.5 hours?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. I'm okay. So sorry. I just want to hear if you had any postpartum.
Yeah. Oh, I did.
I don't remember that, Morgan.
What I do remember is breastfeeding 3 kids, but the breastfeeding and the letdown, crying, yeah. Like having...
Danielle had that too, a hopeless feeling.
Yes, witnessing the anxiety. Like I was like, oh, I'm having... I actually named it as a panic attack. Like I believed every time I was breastfeeding, I was having a panic attack. And I would just have to breathe through it. And but no... no medication. Talk about fighting so hard to get just to a baseline. I was like, this is, I know I want to feed my baby. I know this is happening. I would try not to attach to it. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be on the other side of it. But it was hard.
Quick word.
And I tripped a woman, of course.
That was tough.
I forgot about that.
Quick word about medication, though. Medication and breastfeeding and all of these things. I felt like I really beat the shit out of myself. Like, oh, I got to get off the medication I'm on while I'm pregnant. And then, like, even though doctors were like, it is safe, you know, after a certain number of months, you gotta help yourself. There was a woman with me 8 months pregnant in chemo.
I remember you talking about her.
And guess what? She had the baby. It was perfect. God. The body does protect itself. Mm-hmm. So you got to also help yourself and not punish yourself for being pregnant or breastfeeding. And if you have to stop breastfeeding, that's okay.
It's also okay too. Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation. Morgan, do you have anything you want to plug?
Ooh, do I? No.
Okay, great.
How do people find Gender Nation? We didn't even get to it.
We're
going to do another. But tell us, for those people who want to find out more about what Gender Nation is and how to get involved.
Yes. Yeah, so Gender Nation is a nonprofit I founded, 501c3 California, that we donate LGBTQ affirming books to public school libraries. And over 48,000 students in California have books that we've provided. And we were just given the District 1 PTA Award, Honorary Service Award in Education yesterday, amazing, which I'm thrilled about. If you want to donate, because we partner with publishers, buy the books at a discount and then deliver them ourselves to the school. So if you want to donate, all the money, every dollar goes to buying books. You can do that at gendernation.org. You can find me on Instagram at Ms. Morgan Walsh or Gender Nation at Gender Nation on Instagram too.
Thank you so much, Morgan. Thank you, Deep Divers. And we will see you next time. The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.